It was one of the first to be expelled from the party, from the Labour Party.
Tony Greenstein's here. Come and have a word, Tony.
Thank you very much. Good evening, comrades. I feel quite humble, really, speaking in the shadow of Audrey and Ken Loach, so I'll do my best, and I'm time limited, which is even better or worse, depending on your point of view. I have a proud title. It's probably the only title I have. I was the first Jewish person to be expelled from the Labour Party. Although they said it was anti-Semitism when I was suspended, by the time it got to the expulsion, it was for abuse, bringing the party into disrepute, and calling Louise Ellman a supporter of Israeli child abuse because she defended the Israeli military in the occupied territories. They arrest children at night, anyone over 12. They blindfold them, beat them, sexually abuse in the case of girls and so on. She defended that repeatedly in Parliament. But I was told by the National Constitutional Committee I was shaming her. And my response was that she's shameless. It's not possible. But nonetheless, I was expelled. And I can remember, I would say, the person who is most responsible for all these expulsions, the person who didn't stand up to it, who ensured that the left didn't stand up for it, was John Landsman. You might remember him, the self-appointed boss of Momentum. I remember in a Zionist meeting called the Mud, he described me as probably the rudest man in politics. And I had to sue him for that. I said the word probably should not have been there. I'm definitely the rudest man in politics when it comes to people like him, of course. So, but I do think there are some lessons that need to be learnt. We know under Keir Starmer that if you are Jewish, you are 5 times more likely to be expelled than if you are not Jewish. That's what the fight against anti-Semitism was. So I think we can be very clear that it was never about anti-Semitism, whatever else it was. It was about socialism, in essence. Yes? And the reason why, and I have a book, which I've got a few copies at the back still, is Zionism, the Zionist movement, the Jewish labour movement, and all the echo chambers, never, ever fought against anti-Semitism in their history. That was the nature of Zionism. It arose in the 19th century. It was based on the idea you couldn't fight anti-Semitism. So the Zionists and the anti-Semites agreed. Jews did not belong in the countries that they lived. And so the idea that Zionism would fight anti-Semitism is a load of nonsense. And the reason why, to answer Audrey's question, that the weapon of anti-Semitism was chosen is quite simple. If you think about the history of the British Empire, colonialism, wherever we went, it was in order to do good deeds. In India, it was to stop sati, the burning of Hindu widows on the funeral pyres of their husbands. Elsewhere, we went because it was the white man's burden. We never, ever colonised a country in order to exploit it. You understand? So the right wing of the Labour Party needed a moral alibi. And that's what anti-Semitism was. You know, if they'd accused Corbyn of wanting to nationalise the industries that had been stolen from us under Margaret Thatcher, that wouldn't have been too popular. But anti-Semitism had, a resonance that no other allegation had. And I think that's really what we need to bear in mind. It was totally and utterly cynical. Because if anyone has a tradition of anti-Semitism in the Labour Party, it was the right wing. Under Herbert Morrison, who was the Home Office, Home Secretary in the coalition government during the war, thousands of Jewish refugees were turned away from this country. So anti-Semitism under the right of the Labour Party had fatal consequences. In particular, the immigration of Jews living in Vichy, France in 1942 was stopped by Morrison. He barred it. Those Jews went to Auschwitz. You don't hear anything about that today. The Zionists never protested because that's not what they're about. So I think we should be clear about that. Now, I want to say a few other things. As you know, or some of you might know, I was among one of four Palestine Action members who were convicted recently of intent to cause criminal damage at the Israeli arms factory, Elbit. Thank you, comrades. I am awaiting sentence at the moment, and it's a toss of the coin as to what happens. But the real thing in it is that in this country, it is now a crime to try to prevent the commission of war crimes. The people who actually enable the war crimes to be committed, they get off scot-free, because that is what the justice system is about. Protection of property, not people. And that runs through the legal system, I have to say. Lord Denning, a very famous judge, said that hunger is no defence against theft. And that's always been the case. The law is based on property. But we have a situation today, and I think it's fair enough to say, that capitalism is killing this planet. The greed, the rush for resources, and all the rest of it is slowly destroying us. We are now, and as the UN General Secretary said, not climate warming, global warming, but global boiling. That is the nature of the emergence we face. So what does the government do? Does it take emergency action? Of course not. It passes various bills like the 2023 Public Order Act, the Spy Cops Bill, the Crime and Sentencing Bill, and various other legislative measures, which basically outlaw any effective right to protest. And it's a very sad commentary on the nature of the Labour Party today that Keir Starmer has nodded through every single piece of legislation aimed at curbing the right to protest, which is an essential part of any democracy. We do not have an opposition in this country today. That is the consequence of the defeat of Jeremy Corbyn. We have at best an echo chamber who, if elected, will carry out exactly the same neoliberal policies that we see under Sunak and Johnson and the all too easily forgotten Liz Truss. So, that is the measure of politics. So what have we got to do? It falls upon our shoulders to unite in one single socialist party. And I don't have any recipes as to how we do that, but I think it's really important that socialists do not allow themselves to be divided, to be demoralised, to think there is no alternative. Because we have no alternative but to fight back if we treasure this planet for our children and their children. There is no alternative. We have to get together to say capitalism has outlived its usefulness. We need a society where the people control the resources of that society and how they are allocated, because otherwise there is no possibility of saving the planet from the global warming that we have. I just really want to say one other thing. I'm secretary of my local Unite branch, and I have been in some conflict, as has my branch, with Sharon Graham and the local regional secretary, Sarah Carpenter, if anyone's in the southeast of Unite. I have to say, it's an absolute disgrace that our trade union leaders, instead of standing up to Starmer's neoliberal policies, are appeasing him and giving him carte blanche and getting nothing in return. He made a promise at the Unite conference to repeal the anti-trade union laws. It took him all of 3 days before he reversed that. He waited a bit longer with his 10 pledges. Do you remember the 10 pledges? Yeah. You should frame them. They're still up there. Public ownership, well, that went by the board. Defence of human rights, that, and all the rest of them. So we live in pretty dark times. We live in an era where someone like Julian Assange, for example, can be imprisoned indefinitely because he revealed the secrets of the war crime committed by the American forces. What kind of society is it that locks up those who expose those secrets but allows the war criminals to go free? And it is unfortunate, but with one or two exceptions, our trade union leaderships are more afraid of their own members than the government and the bosses. It is they who called off the nurses' strike. They who called off all the other strikes. It's the UCU which leadership is trying to call off the lecturers' strike. We have, unfortunately, union leaderships which are more concerned with protecting their own privileges and perks than defending their own members. So we have a fight on all fronts. It's called democracy, both within Unite and the rest of the trade union and labour movement. So I probably outstayed my 10 minutes. So thank you very much for being so kind and listening to me. And let's watch this film. It's got a lot to say. Thank you.
Tony Greeting, round of applause for Tony.